Fox approve that Disney acquisition? Do we have a new Iron Fist trailer? And are we Venom? Yes, this is Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, not turning off your speakers on a laptop. That is the 1 second Janet Jackson delay. My apologies. Welcome to Marvel Movie News. This is episode 190. We are 10 Ooh. Episodes away from the big 200 anniversary issue where Harry Osborn dies.
No, really? 190?
Yeah, we're in 190.
Yikes.
Spectacular Spider-Man 200 was that reference. We're at 190. It's crazy.
That is nuts.
So, but such a number. Every week we say how nuts it is, but every week it's always exciting for us.
Oh, it's more nuts.
Because it's one more number closer to 200. So, we are the Marvel Movie News. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us at Marvel.com. Not Marvel.com. You can't find us there.
Marvel.com.
I'm very tired today, guys.
Eventually.
You can get us news from Marvel.com. You
hey,
can
it's
find
only
us.
A matter of time.
It's only a matter of time, honestly.
I'll put it out there.
You're putting it out
the
there.
Secret.
I claim it.
Eventually. You can also, in real life now, find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can find us through Popcorn Talks Network. I cannot speak today. I am so underslept. You can find us at Popcorn Talks website, popcorntalknetwork.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at the Popcorn Talk Network. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, and if you retweet a link to the show whilst we are live, Ant-Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
What's up, everybody? It's Ant-Manthony here, and my god, that Venom trailer is looking so juicy.
I knew that would be like a thing. That would be the thing for you. I knew
it's
as soon as I saw that trailer.
For yeah. Ant-Manthony.
Yeah, then you're going to love the Midsummer Scream stuff that we have later, Ant-Manthony.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait to check that out.
It is that perfect blend of horror and Marvel for Ant-Manthony. He will be very excited in October when we're talking about his world. And it's coming. But first, before we dive into the news, I am joined, as always, by the ever-lovely Markeia McCarty.
Hello! You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MarkeiaMccarty.
And joining us this week is Sabina. There's no R in there.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Sabina has no R and on Superhero News.
It's one of my favorite Twitters because it's just so on point. And I struggle with the same fake R in my name. People add R's to me as well and it drives me nuts. No. I'm not Corey and I never have been.
People add like L's in mine, like Markella or Markayla. And I'm like, no.
They see the I and they're like, make it longer. So let's confuse this. And associate producer Amy, where can they find you on the internet?
On all social media, at Amy Cassandra MTZ, and I am in the chat right now, so let's get tucking.
All right, and Ken from Chicago says Venom looks moist, and I just wanted to give it
some love. And Dino hours like, let's get moist.
So, speaking of Venom looking moist, let's kick it off with the Venom trailer, shall we? We'll dive right into Ant-Manthony's most hyped trailer of the game. I've been hyped about this movie for a very long time.
Yes, you've been extremely excited about this movie. Extremely. It's good to have the enthusiasm.
It's good to have hope.
It definitely is. And Riz Ahmed is an amazing actor. Mm-hmm. Of course, Tom Hardy, amazing actor. I really enjoyed him as Bane. You know, just going ahead. Amalgam Universe. Just going ahead and bringing that in right now. Yeah, really enjoyed him as that. And then for him, I'm basically talking until Ant-Manthony.
Until there's a trailer?
There's a trailer! Magic.
I like the honesty there. You're like, this is just for the moment.
Yeah.
We like to build suspense here in Marvel movies.
I like that this trailer opens with a skyline because that's really Nolan-y to me and it gives scope to a comic thing. It makes me think of those comic frames and then it dives into the like, ooh, lab layer.
Yes, and reminder that we will be talking over the trailer because we have to.
Yes, legally, because we're not on Marvel.com.
But Ant-Manthony, can we turn up the trailer a little bit?
And then it goes full horror right before the Sony and Columbia logos, which I really dig. Also, the first trailer I've seen say in association with such strong
ties. Association.
Yeah. I think Marvel was pretty, hey.
You can say you're with us, but you're not one of us.
I can see why.
Hey, Spider-Verse.
Yeah, by the way. And then the actual symbiote itself, I think it looks great.
It looks terrifying.
It looks terrifying when it's being crawled.
Yeah, and then plus people don't want things on their soft parts, and like that symbiote went straight for soft parts.
I mean, it's got to get in. It's got Orify.
Yeah.
So then, like, the action is what I think is going to separate this from a lot of other superhero movies, because Venom kills, so you're going to have a different type of violence in the action. You're going to have a different kind of ferocity.
I really wish I could understand what he said a little clearer, though.
Whatever we
See, the voice in this trailer I like better than the last trailer.
Yeah.
I just like, maybe, I just want him to clear his throat.
A little less gravel.
Kind of like a Family Guy, clear his throat. Or is that Rick and Morty?
But, like, this feels venomy to me. Like, it definitely feels venomy. Like, the biting of heads and, like, the jokes and the weird humor of the whole trailer.
You have no idea how much you're scaring me right now.
And as theorized, the moment of him fully becoming Venom looks like it does happen in the MRI machine, because that looks like a transformation, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And whether you like the movie or not, at the end of the day, I'm really excited to see them do Venom with technology of 2018, and that looks like we're getting that. Like, Venom looks incredible. And this money shot right here, this like Matrix.
I don't like that they give away who's the other person that has a symbiote.
Yeah.
Right there, like they totally give
Woody
it away.
But Woody Harrelson's in it. We don't know who he's playing. Still Carnage.
Yeah,
and we.
This is a really weird line. No.
Like a turd in the wind.
Yes, like used food.
And the trailer lost me here.
And the shot of the face and his face is straight from Separation Anxiety. Like, I've seen that.
I have a parasite.
Also, yeah. I identify with having a parasite.
That was Jen.
Eddie's symbiote does a lot more than my tapeworm did for me, but I still totally understand having a parasite. So I personally, I've been excited for this trailer for a long time. I actually liked it better the second time than in Hall H. When I saw it in Hall H, I wasn't nearly as amped. I think they've worked on it. I think the voice is a little better. I think that the symbiote looks exciting. I don't know why it's called symbiote still, but I think symbiote is how it's pronounced.
Symbiote.
I don't know.
It's like we're humans and there are robots. Humans.
Yeah, like it's just weird little tomatoes. Lots of tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
What do you guys think of the trailer?
You know, honestly, I don't know if I'm with it yet.
Right.
I feel that I actually seen the film Upgrade with Logan Marshall Green, and when both the original,
it's very much Venom.
It's very questionably very much Venom. Makes you wonder what happened in
kinda
pre-pro.
Like Darkest Mind is New Mutants, like
yeah.
kind of like that.
And I really dug that movie with great performances. I'm still not a big fan of the way that some of the action looks with the symbiote. now it's like tripping me up
Which
in my brain. Which one is it?
Symbiote.
Symbiote.
For me, the symbiote. They say symbiote in the movie.
Symbiote.
But on the animated show, it was symbiote.
Yeah.
And that's
what
I think. Like, Hank Azaria's Venom is kind of the bar for me.
But I'm also someone who's like, you know, this is still, the cookies are baking in the oven. We don't know what the final product is going to be. And I'm going to give it a shot when it comes out.
Yeah. I think we'll all be there in October. I think we'll be up.
Yeah, like well, y'all know me. I love villains. I'm a big fan of villains. I kept on saying that I want a villain driven movie. Although I had in mind, you know, like Mr. Sinister, you know, that kind of thing, like Bryan Cranston or whatnot. But along the way to one day having that, probably soon, but we'll be talking about that later. Then with this, I like that it's villain driven. I'm not so certain where I am on like the CGI element of
right,
it. He does look very moist, as someone said in the chat room. Also, keeping in mind that this is an alien, and you know, keeping that in mind with things, I just wish that the voice was a little bit clearer and maybe a little less moist. But
moist.
This
these
is
are
the
small
moist,
things.
Most moist reference show among the movie's history. Let the record show.
Works.
Moist like a turd in the wind.
I know, Amy was just like, what?
Could not hang with that line.
For thinking like that, also keeping in mind, this is an alien, they're not going to get human humor. It's trying, you know?
True.
Kind of a thing.
If they lean into that, and it's just like really badly put together human-related jokes.
I mean, imagine trying to interact with another being that you had no idea of its history, and you are, you know, dead set on taking out anybody that even looks at you weird, kind of a thing. And then, you know, also you have that just homicidal drive, and, you know, hey, that's probably what they're going for with this. And then taking in mind how he's brought he it, it. I'm gonna say it how it is brought into our world. Mm-hmm. It's basically looks like it's been captured and probably studied and prodded and probably angry as heck, and then hey, here's some food, latch on,
right,
kind of a thing. And then Eddie Brock gets on the scene to like bust down these doors. I'm an intrepid reporter. And then ends up getting contaminated with like this parasite, and then trying to, you know, exist in this world now that has that we're no longer at the top of the food chain. So I will definitely see it in October. Love horror stuff, love Marvel. Mm-hmm. In general. So.
In association
with Marvel. I'm not going to pass it up.
Riot is an interesting choice for the villain. Riot isn't a character that is very prevalent in the mythology. Mm-hmm. Riot is also that a lot of people think anti-Venom is at the end, but they said at the panel that was Riot. So I'm really curious what the five symbiotes coming together means. I'm curious when we get Carnage, if it's like a button at the end. I'm curious. I don't still know the shape of this movie, so I'm very curious. A lot of people think this trailer gave a lot away, but we still don't know what the story really is. So I'm excited for October, but once again, I'm so deep in the cheerleader mode of this movie that I feel like a trailer could just come out and be like, "By God, I gotta love it! I've been saying I love it." So I'm hoping it's as good as I brainwashed myself into thinking it looks.
Amy, how do you feel about this trailer?
I mean, yeah, I'm not like super hardcore pumped for it. It's kind of weird, but because it's a little weird, I'm like, I'm curious. So it's not bad. A lot of people in the chat, though, are having a lot of fun with the word moist. That's great.
Moist. I'm glad we could do that for them. Yeah, thanks, Ken from Chicago.
Yeah, so I might not be first weekend. I might be second or third weekend, but I'm seeing it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll be there Thursday at 9 or whatever.
It looks great.
Oh, yeah, and Anthony! Where's your 10 cents, 2 cents, 5 cents?
He's waiting.
I love how just original this is. I know there's like not really too much out there. I mean, I love anti-heroes. I love heroes that are superbly flawed and have to like deal with their own, I don't know, emotional baggage and whatnot. I don't know. I'm all here for it. At first, it was a little sketchy when you saw a lot of Tom Hardy in like the first trailer. But I knew there was, you know, you had to wait. You had to give him their time to fully unleash Venom. And also, I feel like Marquille, you're not the only one with the whole voice thing. I feel like if people will voice their own opinion about his voice, they will.
Did you just pun us?
They'll probably change it before it comes out to make it more clear as to what he's saying.
Yeah, it did evolve from trailer 1 to trailer 2, so I feel like it's going to keep evolving with the commentary. And they also changed, like, symbiote is said in the trailer, and symbiote. Like, they're evolving even
everyone
stuff.
Says it
like,
differently, probably. Yeah.
So, like, they're evolving that with, like, complaints from the fans. And in the live chat, half people are saying rentals, half are saying they'll see it in theaters. So we will see. And Sony's got a lot riding on it, because they've held every other one of their movies, basically seeing how this one does. So, no pressure. Speaking of movies without any pressure, X-Force. Has so much pressure because it is effectively Deadpool 3, because we don't know if we're getting a Deadpool 3. Ryan Reynolds says they don't know if that's going to happen, but X-Force is far enough along, even with the merger we'll be discussing later on in the show. X-Force is happening, short of Marvel just running in and being like, stop the presses, which they won't do. They like money, so this is going to make them money. Drew Goddard was announced back in September as the writer-director. Joe Carnahan's script, I am a big Joe Carnahan fan, so I'm really curious what elements of Joe Carnahan's original script are in there. He did like Smoke and Aces, and what was that movie at the Wolves and Liam Neeson and Wolves?
Taken. I don't know.
Taken in the mountain.
They took my cub.
There were wolves in human clothing.
What was that? Anyway, Joe Carnahan's
I know that one.
Yeah, that one.
The poster with him, and it's like wintry and cold. Yes.
Only William can stop wolves with his bare hands.
Do you have any favorites that you... Was what? The gray?
The gray! Yay!
Because the wolves were gray, and so was the snow. And it's cold.
Aunt Matthew, once you said that, then I remember seeing the... Yeah, the front of it. The cover.
The cover.
That's all I've seen of it.
It's like Liam Neeson's face, basically.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Middle always. Distance staring.
Mm-hmm. Do any of y'all have any, like, favorites that you want, like, showing in X-Force? Or, like, storylines?
I almost guarantee Archangel's in there, because they mentioned him twice.
I think because they mention him so much. They have to. I'm thinking, okay, since, and we'll be talking about it later with stuff, obviously, I mean, they could probably slip some Psylocke in there. That's a possibility. I'd like for Hope to be more of a prevalent thing, but maybe it's too close in the beginning of the timeline for it. But I definitely want Strife.
Yeah.
I want him.
Okay.
He has to happen. And if they want to throw some externals in there, I'm okay.
Yeah, they can do anything.
You know?
Like
maybe,
especially...
maybe Celine, psychic vampire, maybe she sucks some of the life rejuvenating energy out of Deadpool. I don't know. There's
it's
a lot you can
either
do.
The first or the last of the X universe, if you look at it. Because basically this movie is either the first movie that's going to be tied to Marvel continuity, or it's the last movie featuring these characters that isn't going to be rebooted. So they either have all of the freedom or no freedom whatsoever. So I'm really curious what the X-Force team is going to look like, because if Marvel wants to keep Deadpool, which would make sense because it's such a financial boost, then they could be like, well, our soft reboot involves these characters. Or they might want to just completely separate, because they're not going to move on with the McAvoys and the Fassbenders, and there's rumors that those movies won't even be a thing, which those are just rumors,
those
by the
just
way.
Rumors.
We're not going to report on that.
It's just speculation.
It's literally like one guy going, maybe, and then everybody being like, what? That's news! So we're not even going to...
that guy.
He's a real loud guy. I think X-Force is a really interesting opportunity for the Marvel-Fox blend, and I think it's a great chance because Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool is so iconic, removed from the X-Men. So who would you like to see on the team?
You know, actually, I'm not as familiar with the X-Force, but I'm more familiar with the director, Drew Goddard.
I love, yes.
Excellent.
So, yeah. I mean, like, his work that I've seen on Cabin in the Woods and how he's able to, like, just mash up a bunch of genre together, I think would gel definitely with Deadpool, you know? Like, I think it would even
most
just elevate
definitely.
It as well. But I'm excited for everyone that y'all have been mentioning, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, and, I mean, he did, I think, a few episodes, or the first episode of The Good Place as well. So, I mean, I come into it more from a, like, filmmaker nerd standpoint, where I'm like, I know this guy. This is my dude.
I like him.
And
did Daredevil season one. He's also like Cabin in the Woods, like you said, but also like Back to Cloverfield. Like he's very
Buffy.
Smart and comic-y. Yeah, Buffy. Like he's in this world deep. And I also would love to see like some of the X-Force new members, like Phantom X or like these. Like that'd be a really cool visual character. So I'm excited.
And then that would like get their CGI, you know,
like living spaceship, and like there's so much they can do.
Man, like I wouldn't mind for it to, well, obviously this would be like not the first X-Force movie, but you know, if it, you know, went, they could go into like X-Force 2, they could do like Vendetta, and then we could have like Bishop and Forge in there, and then like get Storm in there, like real Storm, like Storm.
Real Storm.
Marvel's gonna give us a real Storm finally.
I'm not saying anything against the casting or actress or anything like that, but I mean like Storm has been depicted in a way that she isn't like she is in the comics. It's just it's a different rendition of her. So I'd like Comic Storm to be in like an X-Force movie.
And Marvel's so good at we'll get to that. Actually,
yes, right. We'll get to that.
X-Force, very exciting moving forward. We're not sure. No major updates, but a lot of articles are being run around our X-Force. So I'm saying now that it's either the last or the first, and that's very interesting. That puts even more pressure on a little old Deadpool 3. So, Guardians of the Galaxy members. The Guardians themselves came out defending James Gunn. We spoke briefly about this last week. We were in a fairly negative headspace. It was, I think, the first time I've been snarky on camera on this show.
Yeah,
we got spicy. We got a little extra.
But
the actual Guardians themselves have started a open letter, so to speak, and all of them signed it. Dave Bautista has been very outspoken on Twitter even before the whole Guardians team jumped on it. Change.org petition has racked up 300,000 plus signatures. There is a lot of movement on this entire situation. What do you guys think about it?
It actually kind of ties into what I was talking about earlier about Drew Goddard, where like the James Gunn is someone that I've known because my background is like more horror and filmmakers, and I grew up with comic book movies, you know, and while I do read comic books, I'm not going to go out and be like, I'm a comic book expert, because I am not. But yeah, no, I've been a fan of James Gunn since his Troma days and movies like Slither, and a lot of things that people, you know, have to remember is that like the early days of like Twitter and branding, you always had to like see about maybe leaning into some of like the more controversial things, you know. And James Gunn has always been a filmmaker who has on record through his art and through everything he's said since those days been like, I am accountable for my actions in the past. I messed up, you know, like, and I said things that no longer apply to my morals or like how I think about the world. So I'm sorry, I don't want to get spicy too. That's basically where I stand with this whole situation. You know, I didn't know about the Guardians until this film, because like I said, like, he's someone that I came on board with because like, oh, James Gunn's doing a Marvel movie, like, sign me up. And there are some of the characters that are just so endearing because of their flaws and because of, you know, how everyone is sort of become so attached to these characters. And,
oh, yeah.
And
what do you think about the cast signing? What do you think about them?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Well, the letters, well, it's always difficult to do, like, I don't know, what's the term for it? Letter by committee? That's always going to be, you know.
A lot of cooks.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of cooks in the kitchen with that. I mean, I thought the letter did put forward their point that they are standing behind James Gunn. They're not doing, hey, we're not going to do the movie. They're not doing that, which I don't think that would be a good play for them to do.
No. Right.
Even though they're the Guardians of the Galaxy, it's just...
An empire. You don't fight, like...
I mean, that, and I don't think James would want them to do that.
Right.
But I think for what it is in this context, I think the letter does come across very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I understand exactly where they're coming from with it. And I understand why they did it. And I kind of respect why they did it also. Because it's saying, you know, hey, he's not a man standing alone. And... The thing of it is that this entire thing is like he already apologized for all of this, you know, and he was already vetted by Disney. And then this came up and now
they pulled the trigger too fast.
I think I said this last show. I feel like it was a bit reactionary. I don't. And I believe it's a. Oh, God, which Chris? It's Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt. I always mix up. I know who they are, but I always mix up those last names. With what he was saying, he's like, hey, I don't stand by those tweets, but I do stand by the man that he is and what he has become over the years that we've worked with him.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And I respect that. I understand that. This was just so reactionary, I feel. Maybe there's something else that we don't know about, and maybe this is... the reason why, but or then maybe I'm just giving, you know, too much, it was so much speculation.
Amy, thoughts?
It's, hold on. I'm having to remove something. Here we go. It's a dangerous situation, but I'm very glad that the Guardians got together and voiced their opinions, and hopefully that will affect him somehow. Hopefully, positively.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's not someone who's denying allegations. He's not someone who is not being held to the same moral standard as others should be.
And it doesn't sound like a false apology at all.
Exactly.
I like how honest
it sounds.
Right.
It sounds sincere. There's too many false apologies where people will, like, knee-jerk kind of a thing. But this feels sincere, and he's said it before.
No matter what happens, I respect the way Sean and James Gunn have handled the situation currently. Not the situation 10 years ago, not anything else, but, like, this moment, I think they both handled it very maturely, and I think that it will be interesting going forward, because I think that I said it last show that the arc of the Guardians is very much the arc
exactly.
of James Gunn. So, like, being less of an asshole and realizing humanity is important. So it's a really interesting time to react to things from a decade ago, because I can't imagine what that guy's dealing with.
This might be a little early, but do we see another director going ahead and moving forward, perhaps even with James Gunn's blessing?
I can't imagine right now. And it's funny, there was people teasing that it was Kevin Smith, because Kevin Smith was saying, like, he is working on the biggest IP he's ever worked on and all this. Like, his tweet was super cryptic, but I can't imagine.
Right.
I love Kevin Smith, and I can't imagine it. So that means, like, I'm really tied to James Gunn, because if my brain doesn't go, yeah, Kevin Smith, that means I really like someone's vision. And I just don't see that vision. But, I mean, I love Kevin Smith's, maybe.
I think, you know, if like cast and director were like, hey, so this is going to be happening this way, and this director, whoever she or he may be, is going to be stepping into the shoes of helming this. I mean, am I going to say no to a Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
Right.
Kind of a thing.
And that's out soon. That's like two movies from now.
Yeah.
Two movies after Avengers, sorry, not from now.
Avengers 4. I guess we'll just have to see how this ends up shaking out.
Yeah, we'll see. And according to live chat, there's apparently a sit-down meeting this week.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that myself, so I'm curious what that turns into. But in other confusingly large news, Disney is looking like they're going to merge with Fox. It looks like it's happening. Fox has approved the Disney acquisition, $71.3 billion. I have been talking about this very deal since I did this show with Matt Key and Matt Cook. This deal has been going on since hosting. So this is obviously the farthest along we've ever been. It has evolved into shareholders and votes and all of these things. As a comic fan, elated. As a film fan and a creative, a little scared.
Yeah.
So I want to know, we'll start with Amy this time, what you think of the acquisition as a whole.
Yay? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I think that having some stories maybe told in a different way, like X-Men, would be nice. So if that means more movies, then I'm here for it. And, I mean, with everything going on with Disney, I think it's a little bit confusing right now, but maybe this will just go in a positive direction. So, yay.
Markia?
Well, monopolies aren't good. Monopolies aren't they're not our friend. They really aren't. Diversity in business helps us as consumers, as small-time consumers, and so on and so forth. And I have said this before. I'm very happy as a comic nerd to be able to have everything under one umbrella. But then also, and I've said this before too, I wonder if we would have gotten Black Panther, Deadpool, and such, if they had had the entire toy chest to play with. Would we have gotten Guardians of the Galaxy?
Worst case scenario, they're like, well, if the Guardians don't want to do Guardians, let's just do Fantastic Four. You know, like, that's like the scary part of the corporateness of this, where they can just be like, we can do anything now. But it's so, monopolies are bad.
But we do have the first family back. I mean, we already know, what is it, August 3rd, I believe, that, or August 8th, I think, that they're coming out with Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Dan Slott's writing it.
There we go. Yeah, Dan Slott's writing that.
And Sarah Pacelli on art, I believe, and I love both of those creators.
Yeah. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah. You know.
You did. I did.
So, yeah. I'll go out on that one.
I think that... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm basically going to agree with Mark here. Like, monopolies are bad, but there are also so many other companies outside of, like, movies that are big, giant monopolies that we don't know, and all these umbrellas that don't do things for good. And I'm just hoping that Disney will continue to do things for a positive
I think
change.
We're going to get the best cast X-Men we've had yet. I think we're going to get a true Fantastic Four. I think that Marvel has done an amazing job consistently listening to fans, and I think that with this deal going through, we were going to get a very good Fantastic Four soon, because I think a big part of this deal is everyone clamoring for a very certain thing, and now that it's an option, I feel like we're going to get it. So I think we're within 5 years of a brilliant new X-Men, a brilliant new Fantastic Four. So I, as this seems real, I'm going to look at the positive and say I can't imagine a world where we have all of our cake eating it too, and X-Men and Fantastic Four. So I'm going to be very optimistic going forward, and I look forward to Phase Fantastic Four.
Yeah. I hope that we still have a lot of in associations with Marvel, you know, like with Netflix having Marvel, you know, Netflix. I still want that to go on.
Yeah.
I feel like that wouldn't necessarily translate as well over to the Disney streaming service, since Disney has a certain image that they want to do, and it's the whole thing with, like, you know, the Deadpool animated series and everything like that. It's like, I think, okay, own everything, but go ahead and put them in different places.
Yeah, I mean, like, back in the 90s, they had Miramax, I believe, and then the Buena Vista Pictures. And so, like, they had other offshoot arms that they could do more adult things with.
I'd love a Marvel Knights line that handles the R-rated stuff. You know, call it Marvel Knights and make it R-rated. Like, give me my Moon Knight and my Deadpool
under
that
Marvel
banner.
Marvel After Dark.
Bring it Marvel After Dark. Any of those things. But you're right. Like Tarantino worked with them. Yeah. Kevin Smith. Speaking of Kevin Smith. Like, the Jay and Silent Bob movies are not Disney films. No. But they were under Disney money.
Exactly.
Some of them. It's hard to find them on Blu-ray because, like, eight people own those movies. Anyway, I'm curious what happens going forward. I'm also curious what this will look like even by next Comic-Con, because by next Comic-Con, everything is going to be very different.
Very different.
And
amazing,
I think
what a year will bring.
Yeah, like, even looking at the last Comic-Con to this Comic-Con.
And everything's,
like,
moving fast, honestly, because that deal is closing sooner than expected. It's, I think, at the end of this year at this point.
Yeah, they said 6 to 12 months from when we heard, so...
Comic-Con wasn't last week, was it?
It was.
No! It was last week!
Last week? No, it wasn't.
We did a show last week, which was our Comic-Con show. Oh,
okay.
So, a week and a half.
A week and a half. Okay.
Like, it's Monday, so a week and 3 days was the Friday of Comic-Con.
Oh.
Yeah, no, time is it's confusing.
Yeah.
Kang, okay. Save us. So the DC Universe has a glorious app. Marvel will soon have a glorious app. And that segues us into our next news story. Stan Lee gets a cameo in a DC movie.
Yes!
And I thoroughly
enjoyed this.
Amazing. Stan Lee is in Teen Titans Go to the Movies. And it is a Stan Lee cameo. I'm dying to see this movie, but I've been in the throes of movie pass hell like the rest of America.
So sorry. So sorry for your loss.
Mark here.
I saw Teen Titans Go to the Movies and got to interview Kari Payton. He's the voice of Cyborg. I did that for Geeks of Color. Check my Twitter. I have the review up there, or check, you know, Geeks of Color. And yes, this movie. Okay, it is a kid movie.
It is a kid movie.
It is a kid movie. But it does a lot of different themes. It goes into different animation styles. Cool. It has a lot of references, popular references, like Disney references, like Lion King comes
80s
up.
Movies 80s references. Movies. But going back to what you're saying about the different animation styles.
The different animation styles.
That's just going to make you lose your mind, honestly.
It really is. It's like they had the time and they took the time.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
And it was worth it.
It's like Deadpool for kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
That's great.
They don't pull any shots with their DC. Like they bust on Superman like big time with him having all of the they have an Aquamanatee movie poster because they're like, oh hey, you're a superhero, you have an arch nemesis.
They totally ripped on that year that DC at Comic Con just did like an ongoing montage of all these titles that you're getting.
Great.
And basically that's like in the first act where they're just like, all of these heroes are getting these movies.
Yeah, but the Stan Lee cameo. Let's say it was very small. You barely noticed. I'm lying. It was so
it's
huge.
So good. It's
it was
so good.
Huge. It was huge and like kept on.
It kept going.
So don't say what it is because we're
not going to say.
No
it
spoilers.
Is, but it's yes. You know that Stan Lee.
That's him.
You
that's
definitely
awesome.
Do. And once that happens, you're just like, they just did that. That's the thing. Be like, I'm okay with it.
My second favorite cameo after Stan Lee, I think, is Michael Bolton. And that's, I'll just leave it at that.
So if we can sell 5 more tickets by you knowing Stan Lee is in it, go see Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I will be paying for it since MoviePass barely exists. I haven't seen MI6 or that yet, and I'm very upset about it. So today, I'm paying real money to see one of those and then joining AMC Plus, which can
AMC A-List is amazing.
Just saying. So I think that Stan Lee doing that is a great sign that we really need to just work on getting along. I have used this show many times as like, Marvel DC is silly. Let's all be one thing.
Yes.
So Stan Lee jumping in a DC movie, very exciting and very fitting that they reference all of the things from both houses of ideas, and I can't wait to see it.
And you would like it that the main villain, Slade, they totally go meta with, hey, aren't you Deadpool?
Yes.
And people that don't know like the background between like Slade Wilson and Wade Wilson, I recommend.
It's not subtle.
It's not subtle at all. Like that's a real thing.
Is this
recommend
a Deadpool?
Looking that up.
Yeah, and in real life, that is.
Is this Deadpool?
A lot of that went down. A lot of that went down in real life back in the day with Slade and Wade's. So we may be getting Avengers 4 sooner than we thought.
Ooh.
Without Downey Jr. even having to ask in that adorable little coy exchange on Twitter. I use my names and adjectives as much as I can. Avengers 4 might be coming as early as April instead of May, because like last year, it was the last week of April, but the IMAX website reps this movie coming out in April and their big year-long slate, and IMAX, there's only so many of them, so they have to announce their full slate because there's only so much room in the theater for a movie that big, like 2 weeks at a time.
Or like there was LA drama because like the Chinese theater IMAX screen did not have the right information for last event. Avengers, and they had like I think a film festival going on at the TCL Chinese, and so when they moved the date they were like, we can't play this movie until a week later.
Rage.
So I feel like that might be also a little bit as to why we're getting like details.
So what do you guys think about an April release? Do you think it's like just gonna run $400 million like the last one did through May? Do you think it's gonna sort of trounce the summer?
Hey,
I mean, the summer starts when Avengers comes out.
I'm okay with an August release. Whenever they want
to. Whenever they want to.
December,
no,
Christmas.
I mean like a couple of
Christmas.
Days from now.
So ready.
I mean like the last week of August.
There's no Star Wars this December.
There isn't. I know,
so,
drop it.
Go.
No, exactly.
Just,
it's like, Merry
it's like,
Christmas.
Destroy the model.
I want to wander between Spider-Verse and Avengers 4 this Christmas. That's what I'd like to do. Merry Christmas. Amy, what do you think about an April release for Avengers?
Yes. Yes, because I want it now.
Yeah, the sooner the better.
Yeah.
I'll take it in 10 months, yeah. Please. I'll take it in less.
Now.
But I also want the CGI to be done, so I'm gonna...
Well, I want it to be good. Yes.
I'm really excited because we are in a position where they're going to have to start advertising Spider-Man soon, mm-hmm. and Spider-Man's dead. So I'm really curious.
Someone's tweet. There have been reports that Tom Holland is on set for Spider-Man. You don't say.
I'm really curious how they're going to go forward. Like, with the Guardian stock, that comes out after Spider-Man. Right now, that could not be more up in the air. With the Spider-Man movie coming out right after Avengers 4 and him being dead, like, everyone's in a rock and a hard place with ads, and it's almost that time to start those ads up, because around November, December is when those ads would normally exist. So it's really interesting how they're going to do this, and I hope, once again, there is no marketing for Avengers 4. It'll never happen. But if you give me a 3-minute montage showing me Avengers 3 and reminding me of the date of Avengers 4, that's all I want. It'll still make $2 billion. I want to know nothing.
I like that.
Yep.
I really enjoy just everybody's creativity coming up with different terms for the snap. Like, there's, and I saw, like, in the chat room, there was the snapture. I know that there's the snappening been one.
Snappening.
The dusting, the dust. And then there was Armathanos. Was one. So I love that everybody. We have Iron Manos.
Our very important mascot.
Yeah.
So the most recent Marvel movie, Ant-Man, featured some snappening as well.
Yes.
And it was one of the most, spoiler alert, mild spoilers, one of the most bold post-credit scenes I've seen. I won't even go any deeper than that. But the post-credit scene there, incredible and very surprising tonal shift from the movie, which I like that there was a couple seconds of trailers to separate, like, la la la. Oh, God. So Ant-Man is getting a ride in Hong Kong. That was the tangent I was making. Ant-Man is getting a ride, and not only is that ride happening through Marvel, the cast is reprising their roles. That is not that common. Usually they have voice sound-alikes, there are other things they do, but Ant-Man is actually going to be Paul Rudd. Evangeline Lilly is actually going to be the Wasp. I think this is a really cool start for the positive side of Disney owning everything.
Yes.
Is we can have rides. No. What do you guys think about a Hong Kong Ant-Man?
Actually, for coming soon during the Infinity War junket, I actually got to talk to some of the cast about this, because I'm a really big Disneyland nerd.
Yeah.
And I was like, how in are y'all for being a part of the Disney theme parks? And Anthony Mackie was like, I want to be Falcon flying alongside, like, the ride vehicle. And then M'Baku was like, I want an M'Baku Kale Corner of, like, vegetarian and vegan foods. So I think, like, I think everyone who's a part of this universe would be so on board for having voices or their image or likeness on these rides.
I want to go to Wakanda more than I want to go to Avatar Land. So.
No, for sure.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yes. Why is that?
Yeah. No, they need to pass do that. I mean, for them having the Dora Milaje and having T'Challa, like, walking around and the huge response they got
That,
it's just, don't leave that money on the table.
It's just time.
It's like, it's coming. Universal has Harry Potter. Give us Wakanda.
Just, leave the luminescence of Pandora.
Make that tough choice.
Just rip out the Na'vi.
I just want to walk through a giant panther mouth into Wakanda. That's all I ask. I just want to go to Disney and be like, I know where I'm going, and just saunter through a panther.
Oh, man. They could have a VR section where you can be the pilot for one of the ships, like, that's
and the characters that navigate the people that are giving the tour are Shuri. You have people dressed as Shuri, and she shows you on the technology. You have a tech tour,
or like kind of like
knowledge and smart science,
like in Avengers. That should be a Shuri show, like, of her being like, like, this would be like the best princess meet and greet. Would be like her just giving like a TED talk.
That'd be amazing.
Of technology.
That would be awesome.
Encourage knowledge and science of children.
I would pay for that princess breakfast.
Like, learn STEM and have breakfast with a princess.
So in the meantime, Ant-Man is really getting a ride. And Ant-Man is also about science, so I'm hoping they lean into that. I've really enjoyed that the comics are leaning into intelligence being a superpower, that Tom Holland leans into his smarts, that one of my favorite books that got canceled last year was Wasp, and it was about a young wasp gathering female scientists, and the whole book is about science and encouraging intelligence and all those things. So I'm hoping if they make a little Ant-Man corner, they're like, Pym particles, science, all of these things.
Great.
That'd be really cool. So I don't know if that's what's happening, but there is a ride. It's called Ant-Man and the Wasp Nano Battle, and that sounds exciting. So I wanted to give some love to Hong Kong, and that's set to be complete by 2023. So we'll see what that means.
Yeah, they're going to be retheming Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't mind that when they retheme things, like back in the day, was it Back to the Future was rethemed into the Simpsons ride for like Universal Studios Orlando, and I forget. There's a number of things. Of an ET was rethemed into something.
Disney does a lot of that. So like the Finding Nemo ride was the submarine voyage. I actually kind of hope that they retheme the Honey I Shrunk the Audience ride
into
Ant-Man. Like you're on an adventure with Liz, and like. He accidentally gets you shrunken down, and they could turn it into like the Pym Industries with the handle. You just walk into that. That'd be amazing.
I love all of this.
I love, was it Mimer Chef? Please put a GoPro on Markia when she goes to Wakanda for the first time. It'd just make me like,
happy weeping for like 20 minutes. Just open happy weeping.
It'd be me doing the M'Baku challenge with kids.
That's just Disney now. That's just how you go to Disneyland. Yeah. That's just accurate. So that is all of our news until Marvel TV. Wow, I actually didn't sleep last night. I'm having trouble speaking. Marvel TV time is where we're going. So we...
Marvel TV time.
There it is.
We're talking TV time.
I like the abridged because it's so, like, happy and sauntery, and then it's, here we are.
Yeah.
So, we never got to cover the Luke Cage finale because life got in the way, and then Comic-Con, and then more life. So, I want you guys, what are your favorite things about the last three episodes of Luke Cage we did not cover?
I did not see it.
Markia.
I know. I am so bummed. Please give me cliff notes. What episodes should I watch?
All about it.
Yeah. Thank you. I did a couple of podcasts over with a I think it was Nerd Appropriate really got into the thick of it with Ash for the Luke Cage finale. And I guess we're going to talk about it, but like not too spoilery, I guess.
No, go for it. I mean, unless the audience also does not want spoilers.
Yeah. You know, we'll just we'll see
week?
How it goes. We'll see.
Devin? I want to talk about the ending. It's pretty spoilery.
Okay. Yeah, we're just going to talk about it.
Just do it. I'm going to watch it anyways.
Okay.
I'll get there.
Okay. For Luke Cage season 2, gosh, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I love that the character arcs for everyone that they were doing in here, from like Shuraya to having Luke Cage, you know, smiling in the sun, people being like, oh, I want to get this man coffee, you know, kind of a thing, to where his transition into what he becomes at the ending, where it's like, hey, I've got your henchman's hand on the desk, and I'm telling you to stay out of Harlem, kind of a deal.
It's kind of cottonmouthy.
Yeah, with that smile, and I was like, Mike, okay.
It's a different take of Luke Cage than I ever expected them to go.
It is very interesting. And you know what it kind of reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of how Luke Cage, like in the comics, he ends up meeting Iron Fist and Misty Knight, and it's, okay, comic books are a heck of a drug, but there was this whole roundabout thing where he was being blackmailed, and he needed to get, like, the evidence, and to do that, he had to go after Misty Knight, who had, you know, embarrassed Bushmaster. There's this whole other stuff. So he, like, busts into their place, and he's like, I need Misty Knight. And I'm like, dude, who are you? You're Luke Cage, what are you doing? Like, Comanche and, not Chase, Comanche and another henchman are in the car at the time, and he's like tearing up this house, and ends up Iron Fist like confronts him, and it's like, yeah, to them, he's a total bad guy. Mm-hmm. And then seeing him in season 2 in that final episode, you can see that perception where it's like, yeah, you're not being very good right now, but I'm totally on board. And like Mariah, oh my God, Alfrey Woodard, wow. When she like finally ends up in jail, okay, finally does, because it just had to happen, and then she goes full kingpin on you with it, where it's like survives being like slashed up because Sunflower is all like, oh, hey, you remember me? You're going to pay me for protection. Mariah's all like, yeah, you know, that sounds good. Give me a shiv, because I'm going to take it out on this person that just tried to slice your throat. And it's like, guess who's head mama in the house? It's like, that's Mariah. I absolutely love that. She went from someone who, like, it devastated her life to take out Cottonmouth, and let's kind of be honest, he kind of had it coming with where he was going with things, to go from there to where she is now. I want so much more Mariah, and I want that I just want so much of that. I enjoyed everything that Luke Cage season 2 was doing.
I really liked season 2 because the first season, we've talked ad nauseum about the first season, first half was so much.
Yeah.
And the second half, changing shows, was very jarring. This stayed consistent, stayed solid. I loved Shades this season. Mm-hmm. And the first season, Shades, I felt was very, like, at times two-dimensional. This season, he was very nuanced, interesting. His story was as interesting as anybody else's. And then that made you more invested in every other character, because if you have a weak link when they're on screen, you're like, eh. But if everyone's strong, it brings the whole show up. And that's what I feel like this season really did well, was all the supporting characters and all the leads had a lot of strength, so the whole show stayed up. I loved the ending. I loved Harlem's Paradise staying a character. I really liked that Alfre Woodard had, in Shades, such an interesting rival and lover that, like, whenever they were on screen, you actually didn't know what was going to happen. The story kept you going, like, what? And Comanche was great. Comanche stole a lot of scenes. Mm-hmm. It was a really impressive overall season, and it made me want season 3 of Luke Cage a lot more than I had after episode, like, 9 or so of season 1. Like, it fully brought me back into, like, give me more Luke Cage.
I think out of all of the season 2s that we've had with Marvel Netflix so far, this is the one that has me most wanting a season 3. You know, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and such. And I know they're going to do Born Again with Daredevil, but no, still. I need Luke Cage season 3.
I was really impressed. Like, the whole season, top to bottom. Yeah. There was no filler episodes. There was nothing I needed, like, taken out. No subplots that I was like, mm-hmm. eh. So, yeah, Luke Cage season 2 was solid. If you guys haven't seen it, you probably weren't listening. So, welcome back.
Yes.
And
snitches get stitches.
And I love that he had a backstory about where his shades came from. And I love that it involved Top Gun.
Yes, we're back.
End of spoilers. There's also some other TV news in the form of, next week is the season finale of Cloak and Dagger. Now, Cloak and Dagger, for me, is up there with Runaways as amongst the best shows we've had for Marvel. I really love Cloak and Dagger. I think it's very good for kids to learn morality. I think it's very important without being preachy. I think it talks about big subject matter like The Punisher did without feeling like it's hammering it over the head. I really appreciate everything about the show, how super heroic it is while also being a drama, how the effects look amazing, how the acting's great, how they're subverting expectations. It's so good. What do you guys think about the show?
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm very excited. But it looks so good. I loved Runaways, and I think that there's room, especially now with all these acquisitions, there's room for Marvel for everyone of all ages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some people to be like, no, it's not, like, the same level that it was in the comics as far as, like, you know, adult themes and whatnot. Like, it's, no, this is...
adult.
It is pretty adult.
Pretty adult.
Is it sexy?
I think it's mature. It doesn't treat, you know, teenagers like they're kids.
Good. Yeah. Like Runaways.
Exactly. Like
Runaways. Yeah. Yeah. So far, my favorite episode of the season is episode 7, which is the one where it is, oh, I forget the character's name. Mina? I want to say Mina's dad.
Ivan.
Yeah. Mina's dad, Ivan. Thank you. Where he is catatonic. And then to this point, Tandy and Tyrone have, you know, grasped their power set enough to where they're like, hey, we could probably, let me find a better term than what I was just about to say. We could probably, as a unit, help this poor, you know, person, and then also find out what was going on behind the scenes, mm-hmm. of, like, the big explosion and everything like that. So they use their powers to then go into his catatonic state and proceed to, well, kind of lose themselves in there. Well, not both of them, but... you know, Tandy does. I really enjoy this episode.
The sister show-ness of Runaways can't be described without having seen the show. Like, how much these feel like... You know how the Netflix shows feel like they're in the same universe? This is that for me. And, like, they don't even have to mention the incident. They just, like, it just feels like these things could be happening. Like, New Orleans is here, California is here. Right. And I love that in the comics that Runaways always had that. And I didn't expect that from Cloak and Dagger. And they're on different networks and everything. And they also, a character that's mentioned on the Netflix shows is in Cloak and Dagger. The Officer O'Reilly is mentioned on Luke Cage, which I love. They, like, that. Those are even, like, the rights issues aren't a big enough problem. I just, it's so welcoming and smart, and it's such a good show, and I'm really glad it exists. Amy.
Yes, well, actually, before we continue talking about Cloak and Dagger, I wanted to say something really quickly. we have a brand new season of the critically acclaimed animated series, The Venture Brothers. And it's almost here. So you can watch Hank, Dean, Brock, Rusty, and the rest of the Team Venture attempt to save their frozen butts from the icy hill of organized villainy. So this premieres just around the corner, Sunday, August 5th at midnight Eastern Time, Pacific Time, on Adult Swim. So on Adult Swim, all in the name of super science. Go Team Venture!
Yay. Super science.
Yeah, so yeah, I freaking love Cloak and Dagger. I think they've done really well, and yeah, we're coming up on the finale. Too. Mm-hmm. It's this week.
It's this week. It's Tuesday. Today's Tuesday. It's Wednesday.
Thursday.
What day is that show on? I watched it on Hulu.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think
it's Wednesday or Thursday that it comes out, because I usually watch it over the weekend, like Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. Same.
Marquis has to tell me the day of the week it is, so otherwise I'm lost.
Days of the week.
What are
those?
I don't know. Yeah. I set alarms on my phone when I have calendar stuff, like, oh, you have to be somewhere in 2 hours. Great. Thanks.
That's smart.
That's basically my week.
So we'll watch it before next week's show, and we'll dive into Cloak and Dagger finale next week. We'll talk more about the whole show.
And episode 9, 8, 9, and so on and so forth. We'll do all of that next week together with the finale.
Because Cloak and Dagger's we'll do the last three next week. Because I'm admittedly at 8, and I want to see the 7 again and then dive into the last 4-hour movie, because I love watching it as a chunk. So I really like Cloak and Dagger. I've been really impressed consistently. Marvel TV is doing great. And speaking of Marvel TV, we have a potential redemption season for Mr. Finn Jones' Iron Fist. Iron Fist Season 2 has a very particular item of clothing in it that makes me real, real happy. I always want Daughters of the Dragon whenever I see her.
Well, yeah, it's Colleen. Episode 11 of Season 1 is excellent with her in it. It's like culmination of her storyline, feels like.
It's coming. Oh, dramatic pause. There it is. It's so beautiful. Oh, I love Iron Fist mask. Yeah, nicely done, by the way, Anthony. That was a hairpin trigger. So Iron Fist to me is the easiest costume to translate incorrectly, because it is the most real life, if that makes sense. Like, it's easier to do something that seems like real life wrong, because you're like, why does that seem just off? Like, to me, it's easier to do crazy outlandish costumes, because you're like, well, he's wearing a cape. Whereas this, that could be very, very silly. I like this suit. I know a lot of people on the internet don't. I really like the eyes. I like that he's in his mask. I think this gives a lot of potential for stunt guys. We were talking before the show. Like,
yeah, that's a point that I really want to emphasize. I am A-okay with this mask, mm-hmm. because it's like, then that lets a stunt actor that would be, you know, have the moves that we expect for Iron Fist to be able to step in, so that Finn Jones, the actor, can then concentrate on, acting of being Danny Rand. Mm-hmm. It might be one of those things with just our society now.
And to be physically safe.
I mean, there's a reason why, I past feel like stunt actors should have a category in the Oscars, because mm-hmm. what they do is extremely important. It brings a huge value of experience to our movie going and our TV, our TV watching experience. So yes, I'm all for the mask.
Yeah.
Not only is it canon, but it works for what we want it to do. So, yes, mask all day.
So, I love it. I hope we get the full suit. Don't know if we will. We know this is a flashback, which means I hope he fights a dragon. Okay.
Danny. You okay?
It's just a bad memory.
So, I am curious what Typhoid Mary comes into play. I'm curious how the structure of the story is with everyone wanting more Colleen Wing. I think she'll get plenty of time, because she was in Luke Cage more than I expected. I want more. I'd like it to be a lot of her in the show. I want full Daughters of the Dragon. But like we said last week, I am much more excited for this take of Finn Jones as Iron Fist than I had been prior. I think it's going
to
be good.
Yeah. I kind of like for them to take the note that it feels like Luke Cage Season 2 did, and had more of the people that aren't super powered, like have it more filtered through their perspective, like how it had a lot of the story driven through Misty Knight and through Mariah. Then I would like more Colleen, and then yes, Misty Knight in there, and then Daughters of the Dragon, but the people that are, and Jerry, I want more of those perspectives. I mean, Iron Fist is cool, but also kind of balance it out more.
So you guys had an adventure. Yes. And you wanted to share it with the class.
Yes, yes, yes.
Tell us of your tales.
Yes. So the idea that I had was for Marvel Movie News to venture out because there are many Earths. It's not just 616 with our main storyline. For instance, this past weekend, was it this weekend?
Yes, it was this past weekend. And the weekend before that was Comic-Con.
And the weekend before that was Comic-Con. So yeah, this was like on Sunday. So my idea was to go to Earth 2149 because the horror season is ramping up. And I was at a friend's birthday party with Sabina. She's like, "Oh, I'm going to that thing." And I'm like, "Great, help me!" And her
horror
and Jonathan,
is my jam.
Her and Jonathan Graves helped me find Marvel things, and we went to Earth 2149, also known as a Midsummer Scream. This was my first time at Midsummer Scream, and I believe it was Jonathan's also.
Yes, this is their third year. They're a LA convention that does all things Halloween in the summer. Which is awesome.
It was at Long Beach Comic Con. It was Saturday and Sunday. And for basically what it did is, ran out. I got terrified by this, It was a leprechaun.
Leprechaun.
You know,
yeah.
Leprechaun movie.
Yeah.
Swear to God, that person followed me around. Because,
just jumped up.
Yeah. One time I was looking at the map and then they just like, rawr. I was like, ah! Come on.
Yeah, and it's a Halloween convention. They have panels about the different things that theme parks are going to do for the Halloween season, like Halloween Horror Nights or Warner Brothers, actually, that's doing a DC Arkham thing, which we can get to.
That's cool.
Exactly. But so we have a couple of videos and then like local artists. Basically, that Marvel has gone into so many different kinds of fandoms. And something that I love about horror is that it really is the genre where all of our nerddoms can just like come together and let their hair down and like kind of scare each other. So for this first quick video, this is from Eden Rashai. I think he says it in the video. So Aunt Anthony, can you play this, please?
Scream on Earth 2149, and we have found Zombie Cap. Please tell us all about this.
Well, this is Zombie Captain. We noticed that there was a hole in the industry. There's no zombie captains, and we made a really nice mask, a wood tree man. He had the same jawline as Captain America. I wasn't gonna do Captain America. I gotta do Zombie Captain America. I'm Guglio, by the way, at Eden Rashai Studios. We make vintage masks, vintage Halloween masks. Take a look at that.
Amazing.
Yes, and this is only the tip of the iceberg. More Midsummer Scream. Yeah.
Yes.
He's coming out with this. Yeah, so you can find them at
Eden Rashai.
Eden Rashai. So yeah, for that. But go ahead and just show the next one. And this next one is at Blood and Teeth. And
dramatic pause.
No, this next one. This next one is at no, not the videos. Just in order. So just the next one in order. Yeah. So this is actually at Nick Hernandez Art, and he's holding a Venom. And go ahead and go for the next. I mean, I think you see Venom's right here. The sketch of Venom's very at home with all of the other horror elements that you can find there. Go ahead and next one. So this is not Nick Hernandez. This is a different one. So for, I thought I had, the next one was supposed to be Hella.
Yeah, but Nick Hernandez did such an amazing work.
Yeah, he does a lot of really good work, and he also has at Frankensons. He has a booth there. But yeah, at Nick Hernandez Art, I focused on just the Halloween stuff, but he had like Iron Fist, he had Deadpool, had Deathstroke, so on and so forth.
Oh, Metal Batman was my favorite.
Had Metal
from the
Batman.
New Metal series. Oh, so good.
So, but yes, continuing with Earth 2149, this is at Blood and Teeth, and this is a Spider-Man obviously leaping over a very Hulk Venom. And then the next one should be, actually, there's a video that should be before all of this. This video should be, So here's a...
I really love how these conventions have such a celebration of all of the fandoms.
Yeah, so it's just a series of different things. And, like, Deadpool being zombified with a katana through his head.
Deadpool!
Zombie Spider-Man. And then Rocket holding a big gulp.
No.
Or it might have been a gun. But, yeah. And then also had, like, a Deadpool section with a Hello Kitty and a Patrick.
That's Patrick.
That's Patrick.
Oh, that's
funny. And then there's My Little Pony Deadpool. You know, there's a grenade Deadpool in the back. And then there's a Sith Deadpool also. So, yeah.
I love that he is everything.
Yeah, at Blenteith. Deadpool was very popular here. And then Yeah, and right here, this is Crystallina 17. And this is like a zombie wall of Marvel. And very cutesy zombie, though. So it's like you can get your Marvel and your zombie at the same time.
Totally. Like, oh, if you want to have, like, Halloween decorations that still celebrate superheroes, or if you just love both the genres and want to have that on display, like, there are so many options from all these passionate artists.
I don't think this video just yet, but go ahead and play it.
Evil Groot was awesome.
That's cool.
Oh, well, this was supposed to start at 28 seconds.
He's only $30, and I regret not buying it.
Oh, that guy was so cool! Only
$30 for Evil Groot. And here's a close-up picture of Sabina. Awesome. I was able to get, like, a really great picture of him. Yeah, so they are... Yeah, Monica is the wife, and they were Angel of Death Creations. We bring dead things to life. and you can find them at Angel of Death Creations. So they had a lot of really great stuff, and I really appreciated having... time to talk with them, and I love that people are injecting Marvel into the horror world.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of which, I got to talk with Coven FX. They are a group of female makeup artists and sculptors and special effects artists, and they're a very small collective right now. You can find them at Coven FX on Instagram, and they're doing a free makeup demo, and that's coming up on September 8th, and you can check that out on their Instagram. But more importantly, I talked with them, and I was like, they were like, hey, yeah, we're doing all these makeup demos. I'm like, oh, well, I use, you know, the show, Marvel Movie News. They're like, we should make you up as one of the Marvel people, but like in a horror form. And I'm like, yes, let's do that. So basically, if y'all can help me decide on a superhero, they'll make a zombie version of that for me. So, I mean, we can keep it totally canon, and I could be like, you know, Miss Marvel, or I could be Century, or like anything like that. So,
Mary Marvelites, call to arms. Yeah. What do you want to see?
So I'll put that up on Twitter, and I'm going to work with Coven FX, and we'll do like a little video and stuff of it, and they will Marvel zombie me. So that's I'm cool. Really looking forward to that. Maybe Captain Marvel, because her, you know, hers right around the corner.
That's the next best big live action theatrical.
Yes. So yes, don't be afraid to go to any of your smaller horror conventions near wherever you are, because you will find some Marvel there, and the people are pretty cool, except for the ones that try to scare you while you're walking around.
But the rest are great. So also, a buddy of mine, when they brought this up, I thought this was really cool. A friend of mine, he's actually come on the show before, Rob Fee, is doing the Avengers Halloween special this fall. So Avengers Halloween special number one is written by my boy Rob Fee, and that means you can buy something my friend wrote that's in canon. And I also love that they're doing a horror comic, because I think the Immortal Hulk is killing it, and it's a full-on horror comic. So these worlds are combining like Aunt Anthony dreams. So do we have any shout-outs to the Mary Marvelites?
Yes, we have Shane Pickett at DadRad4, Mighty Guy 2421 at Mighty Guy 2420, or Might Guy. Emily Walton at MWalton22, Brian Trotter at 40 Some Geek, Brandon P at Brandon Pramji, Media Shock at Media Shock UK, Arkin O'Brien at Arkin Brian. With an IE. Jim Goodwine at Jim Goodwine. Mick C at C_Mick. Jocelyn at Bad Wolf Bay 10. Mm. Yeah, and I think there were a few questions, but I think we kind of knocked those out because they were all Disney, they were the Disney Fox deal.
And if you have any before next week, or if we missed it next week, let us know and we'll set it aside. And Cesar Lozano, happy birthday. I saw you in the live chat saying yesterday was your birthday. Welcome back to the live chat and happy birthday. Where can they find you guys on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, M-A-R-K-E-I-A-M-C-C-A-R-T-Y. Today, I'll be doing Asinine Wisdom over at Geek & Sundry, where it's, we'll be debating some very tough topics, very tough topics. You'll want to be there for that intense debate. It's basically like between two firms with Zach Galifianakis, but with two wrestling nerds also. So that's going to be fun. And I'll be on Natural Selection at Nerdist this Thursday. It's going to be Doctor Who versus Real Doctors.
That's cool.
So that's going to be well worth. I'm going to be a judge on that. So that'll be well worth tuning in. And then anything else, you know, check my Twitter. I keep pretty busy.
The live chat is giving you lots of suggestions, just so you know.
Oh, nice. I'll start a Twitter thread and a Twitter poll of top suggestions. But, keeping in mind, it's open to all superheroes, not just black females. But I do appreciate the suggestions. These are a lot of my favorites.
Awesome. You can find me, Sabina, on Twitter at Sabina has no R. I'm also on Superhero News on YouTube, and you can find my articles and interviews with people like Kevin Feige and the cast of Ant-Man and the Wasp on ComingSoon.net.
I love that site. Miss Amy, where can they find you?
On all social media at Amy Cassandra MTZ. That includes Instagram. Yay. Yeah, I do a lot of stuff, so just follow me.
Wonderful. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Koijandro, and I will still be doing this show for the time being. I know you guys found out I'm taking over with Amy and Clatter Heroes for our dear friend John, but I will still be here as much as I can, and I'll be better slept. There'll be a few weeks I miss for going to Ireland in August, but that does not mean I've left you. I'll be here as much as I can, and I thank you guys for all the love and support I've gotten this week, and I will see you all next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.